So I'm going to talk to you about this reading that we just heard from the Gospel of Luke. I usually, as you know, prefer to preach on the Old Testament reading, but I'm going, pretty well going to have to talk about that. You know, Jesus wants to disrupt our families and set fire to everything. Probably need to describe what that means. And so we're going to try and talk about that a little bit. Although it would make a great sign. Yeah, advertisement on our sign for Sunday school, come in and we will disrupt your entire life and set things on fire. You know, we're drawing people in September. So I want to talk about the word disruption particularly, which is the word that lies behind this. I don't know about you, but when I listen to this, but I think to myself, well, I have in the course of my life, we're all at different stages in our life, ages and stages, but course of my life and being in my 60s, I have had entirely enough disruption in my life, including family disruption sometimes as well, which probably most of us have had in one way or another. And I've never had anything set on fire physically, but I've certainly had lots of things set on fire metaphorically. So there's that. And when I think about what I want, it's not disruption, and it's not things going up in flames. I think of the thing, and when I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking, because this reading is as disturbing to me as it is to you. What I think about what I want is I think of the word home. Not just a house, but the word home as being a place where I can feel satisfied and where I can feel secure and where I can feel peace. So let us argue with this reading. Let's argue with Jesus here for a minute. And as I said, number one, these are not things I'm particularly interested in that he's offering. And number two, whatever happened on peace on earth, goodwill towards men? That was at the beginning, at the very beginning. This is the Gospel of Luke. That was at the very beginning of the Gospel of Luke. Do you remember that? The angels appear, hosts of angels appear. Baby Jesus is in the cave getting born. And they appear and they're saying, well, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And I'm going, I'm showing my age here, but as a famous song from the 70s said, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? You know, what's wrong with a little peace, love, and understanding? You know, what's this all about? So the question is, what is Jesus trying to say here? You know, it doesn't resonate. It's awkward. It's difficult. It rubs me the wrong way. It may rub you the wrong way, conceivably, when you're listening to it. So what is Jesus trying to say here? Well, as usual, it would be helpful if the lectionary actually started with the beginning of the story. You ever watch a romantic comedy? I have endured that many times. I should say to my wife with great joy and voluntarily, I've endured it many times. She has not endured so many Nicolas Cage movies and things like that with me, but anyway, things blowing up. But anyway, but if you notice the structure of a romantic comedy, it's always the same. It's boy meets girl, you know, boy loses girl, girl finds girl again, you know, it's that kind of thing. And so we're kind of in the middle of that, except the lectionary begins with the disruption in the middle, right? That's where we are right now. We're at the period of disruption in the middle. Part it doesn't tell us about is the beginning. And the beginning, at the beginning of this, before Jesus talks about all how all heck is going to break loose if you follow him and everything's going to be horrible and torn apart, tells a story, as Jesus always does, right? And the story is this. It's one of his parables. He goes, there was a man, a master, he says, of a household. So a family, so to speak. Man of a household. And he goes away. And he goes away to a wedding banquet. And he leaves his servants in charge. And the servants are, they're just doing the chores, doing the stuff they need to do, and just waiting for their master to return. You know, you can see with a sense of eagerness that they want to return. And the master comes back from this wedding banquet, and it is obviously the best wedding party of all time. There's one New Testament scholar, he said, it's like he comes back in a happy mood with two bottles of Dom Perignon in his pockets. He's happy. You know how you ever have a really good meal, you know, and you go, oh man, that feels good. I just feel so good. Or it's a good family event or a party, and you go, wow, that just feels so good. And so he comes back to his household, and he's in a really good mood. And so far, so good. Here's where it goes off the rails. So whenever Jesus is telling a story, he always kind of lures people in. People are going, oh yeah, yeah, that's good, that's good, that's good. And then he always says something which is going to shock people. Sometimes it's make things to make them laugh, which is also a way of creating disequilibrium. Is that the word I'm looking for? Whatever. You know what I mean? In a person, but something just kind of put you off. But in this case, to shock. So he comes home, he's happy, had such a great time. He had the world's greatest breakfast after the party. And he's just in this great mood. And he says, I tell you what, guys, I am so happy coming home from this wedding banquet. Servants, I want you to sit down at the table, and I'm going to cook you the best dinner you ever had, and I'm going to serve you. And this is the point when people who are listening to Jesus are going, Jesus, this is 30 AD in the Roman Empire. That's never going to happen. What are you going to do next? Suggest the end of slavery, you know, or something? Like, you're crazy, the things you're suggesting, which actually St. Paul did later in the book of Philemon. But they're saying to him, they're listening to this, the audience listening to him going, well, this is crazy. What you're suggesting would completely upset the household. It is very disruptive. We have gotten together at the back of the synagogue, and we all need to tell you, we find your stories very disturbing. So, you know, just to give you some feedback, people are saying your stories are disturbing, Jesus. And this is one of them, because it does not make any sense for a master to serve his servants. So, and then after that, so that's the start, right? You're talking about the three acts of the play, so to speak. That's the start. The start is the Lord, Jesus is the Lord, comes in and offers to serve instead of be served, because he is in such a state of love and of joy for his people. And then we go into this section where it's kind of like where he's talking, which you heard today, which is fire. I'm going to set everything on fire, and people are going to be disrupted with each other, and households are going to be this, and households are going to be that, and it's going to be, you know, everything's going to be crazy. And everything's going to be disrupted. And then you go, well, what's the disruption? What's causing this disruption? Is there such a thing as good disruption and bad disruption? There is, isn't there? There's disruption which is caused by chaos and hatred. But there's also, and this is Jesus' point, is there is a disruption which is caused by God's presence. There is a disruption which is caused by absolute self-giving love. And so the fire and the baptism that Jesus are talking about, it's very clear what he's talking about later on. He's talking about his own death by baptism. My fiery baptism is his death. And the point of his death is his self-giving love. Here is God himself, the maker of the universe, making himself so available to us out of love that he offers his life for us. You know, as somebody put it, there's two things you can do with Jesus. You can do with a love like that. Somebody gets into your space that close and goes, this is how much I love you. You can say yes or you can say no, but you can't ignore it. You can try to ignore it, but it's constantly there. We can try to avoid it. We can try to forget about it. We can try and numb ourselves from it, but it's constantly there, this absolute getting into our space with this self-giving love. And what's he going to do? He's going to give himself for us. He's going to invite us to sit at the table. Notice any tables here. And he's going to feed us with the most delicious food we've ever had, which is the food of his body and blood. So love, Jesus' point here is, love is disruptive. It's true. Sometimes we can be in a state of, fancy word for it is acedia, of not caring, right? Because increasingly, I think these days in our culture, we get into a state of not caring. That is, we can numb ourselves, right? We numb ourselves through all kinds of different means. You know, our cell phones are this or that. We numb ourselves so that we can't even see and we can't even listen. So when Jesus breaks into our lives with this very uncomfortable level of love, it's disruptive. And we might even want to say no. Do you ever want to say no to Jesus? Am I the only one here? Yeah, time to fess up. I've had times when I'm in prayer and Jesus says to me, I would like to give you this amount of love. And I'm going, no, thank you very much. I'm English. That makes me too uncomfortable. You know, that's just too much love. And he's going, this is going to be so much better for you when you say yes. And that's the disruption. St. Ignatius Loyola says, when the Lord breaks into a heart which is unused to him, it seems like a robber is breaking into the house. That's how disruptive it is. So sometimes we have to have things disrupted, right? Not to make them bad, but to make Jesus comes in and disrupts our lives in a good way in order to make them good. Do you remember, you guys, a lot of you guys were through this, not all of you. Do you remember when Rector Clara was here before me and she brought in Father Brian Way? And there had been some, this is no secret, there'd been conflict in the community over the course of years and things were not settled. And this is interesting, listening to people go, and we were told we couldn't talk about it because that would be gossiping, right? That's not very good. And so they came in, they said, no, we're going to get people to talk to each other, to speak openly and honestly with each other and to trust one another, be prayerful to each other. This is my question. Was that a little disruptive? Was there something disruptive about that? Yeah, of course. Of course it's disruptive. Something which is not alone things which are bad, but love itself and truth itself can be very, very disruptive. But the Lord says, you will be so happy. Be so happy. That you allowed me. You allowed me in, that you said yes to my love. As difficult as it is to say yes to love sometimes. So for myself, I don't want a household. I don't want a family. I don't want a church where I don't like disruption. But on the other hand, I don't want to be somewhere, anywhere in my life where things, where I am numb, where things are not right, and where the disruption that I experience is destructive. Disruption. I don't want that. What I do want, when the Lord convinces me to say yes, is I want the disruption that Jesus brings. The disruption of self, his self-giving love to me, his constant offer to me. And so what happens, you can tell me this, what happens if perchance we might once in a while accept that pure self-giving love? What happens to us? Are we more likely to offer that love to other people if we can accept it ourselves? Do you think? Yeah, I think so. I think that's right, because now we know what it is. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah says, do not say peace, peace, where there is no peace. Jesus is not offering a false peace. He's offering us a real peace that comes from that love which disrupts our hearts and opens it up. So our parish, I'm thinking about our parish right now. I'm thinking about my own household. I'm thinking about other communities I'm part of, but I'm thinking about our parish particularly. We have been through the disruption of God's grace, and now have the ability, and I've always have, but particularly because of that disruption, we have the ability to offer that same kind of self-giving love into the wider community. Even though we have many obstacles, that doesn't matter. The obstacles don't matter. What matters is we said yes to that love. And now we can become conduits. We are not asleep. Jesus woke us up. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, it's impossible for us to understand the depth of your love for us. So deep that even though you are God himself, you make yourself our servants. You become our servant, rather, and offer us your life and your love and your service to us. You offer us this holy food in which you're present. You disrupt our lives with your love. Help us to say yes, yes, yes to that love, deep in our hearts, and help us to reach out with that same love to others in our own lives and in this community of Northeast Calgary. We ask this in your name. Amen.